Hey, print hustlers, welcome back to another episode of our podcast. My name is Bruce from Printavo. We've got a very special guest, actually back again, the Supercolor founders, Rumwalia and Mike Modgal out of Los Angeles and New Zealand. Thanks, guys, for being able to join us again on our second episode with you guys here.
Yeah, thank you.
Good to be here.
So the reason I wanted to do this is because last time we talked a lot about Supercolor's history and what they got into, and how they've just created an incredible brand new heat transfer and an innovative heat transfer in this space. But I think there's a lot of questions around pricing and how shops can actually use this to develop their offering, to be able to sell more, to be able to, like, even how to price. And we were talking about this a little bit earlier before, but I thought it was great if they could show us real examples. Like, what should we charge? How do we sell it? There's just so many questions in it. So I'm really excited to be able to get into this. And thanks, guys, again for joining. So first, just to kick it off, like, what types of jobs should be focused on or should shops use for heat transfer versus screen printing? Mike, especially, you were talking about before that, you know, a screen printer, a shop owner, he's doing, sure, she's doing 800 different things at a time. Anything can go potentially wrong with that order, but maybe what are better orders for transfers than setting up a screen print job?
Transfers are great for the slightly unusual jobs and the technical jobs and the short run jobs that have got lots of colors. And saying that, they're good for other things as well, but like in terms of how they help out somebody who's running a busy screen printing shop, it does the stuff that you'd have to set up 10 screens, do some simulated process for. And somebody walks into your shop with a sweatshirt job and he says, I want 50 of these, and it's got 8-9 colors, it's simulated. It's difficult, it's gonna take you sort of like an hour or so to set it up on the press, or maybe a couple of hours to set it up on the press. You can sell a transfer job, and if you've priced your transfers correctly and confidently, you don't have to worry so much about how to price, how long it's going to take you to set up the machine and all that sort of thing. It takes a little bit of complexity out of your day because it means that you don't have to think about all of the other details that you would have if you were screen printing it.
That makes sense. And even for both of you guys, what defines it as a short run then versus, like, do you normally target 12? Is it 24 with maybe 6+ colors? Where's that boundary?
Well, for us, a short run is 20 pieces. And that's also the minimum order quantity for Supercolor. What it does is, even if you're going to do a dozen, it gives you 8 left over just to have extras in case the customer comes back. And we all know that customers that put in small orders, inevitably they'll come back and say they need 2 or 3 extra pieces. And that helps solve that problem right there.
Got it. And what is the difference between then running something off on a DTG versus heat transfer?
There's quite a bit of difference, but really what it comes down to is your time, right? And what Supercolor is all about is making things super fast and super easy. With DTG, there's, you know, sometimes if you're doing a dark, there's a pre-treat, there's a different process that revolves around it. With Supercolor, it's just press, peel, and ship. And that's what we want it to do. We want it to be really, really easy for the print shops to execute. Sometimes with DTG, there's other complexities that come along with it, particularly when you're printing. Sometimes there are higher damages and things like that that can be avoided by using Supercolor.
DTG as well is, once you get up doing sort of like 20, 30, 40 shirts, by the time you have the pre-treat, depending on the size of the thing, how long it takes, it might take between 1 minute and 2 minutes to print it off on the machine.
Sure.
With a Supercolor, we're like a 10-second press. And there's minimal training because it's a heat press, so you've got somebody standing in front of a heat press. As long as it's set up correctly, they go for it. With a DTG, you've got to have a trained operator in front of it. The guy's got to know what he's doing. There's a whole lot of hooks in it. Again, it's just another complex piece of equipment that exists in your shop that makes life a little bit more difficult.
Totally. It's all about the time, right? If you get 20 Supercolor transfers and you're pressing on the front of a t-shirt, it may take you could probably knock out those 20 shirts in maybe 5 minutes or less. Yeah, if you're a good presser, it's only a 10-second press. I know people in my shop will probably get it done in maybe 2 or 3 minutes. With DTG, that's just not something that you can do because of the time it takes to print. If you add pre-treat to that, it's going to be 5 times, 6 times, 7 times the speed. It just depends on the technology that you have.
Interesting. So, you know, fulfillment has definitely been a big thing, especially with online stores growing. We release Printavo merch and people are booming with the fundraising aspects, right? That you see helping other small businesses and just overall online stores to help companies collect sizes and payments and all that stuff. But does this potentially help people? I think one of the things that happens is, you know, you got to wait every week to gang all the orders or every 2 weeks to fulfill that whole job because people don't want to be setting up the press, tear it down for maybe 8, 12, or 20. Like, does it help give more flexibility to fulfill those faster then? You know, as the orders come in, or you could stack those heat transfers and purchase them like that too?
Yeah. So if you think about a fulfillment shop, you're selling ones at a time, two at a time, three at a time. What Supercolor does is, like, if you've got a design that you know that you're going to sell 100 of over, we've got a shelf life of a couple of years. Uh-huh. So if you're going to sell 100 over the space of sort of 6 months, you buy 100 transfers, you set them on the shelf, an order comes in, you press it out, and you go. And we've got some people in the fulfillment space that are quite big in the fulfillment space that are now really large customers of ours because we've taken a lot of complexity out of their business in terms of having to deal with the DTG, the setup, the pre-treating, the other bits and pieces. It removed a bottleneck for them because it just had, you know, the colors, they were confident, it was easier for them to scale with the staff. Rum, you know, who, you know, the company that I'm talking about.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's really worked great for him. And there's a guy in Australia at the moment who we've signed up about for like 2 months ago. He's doing exactly the same thing. And these guys are quite large, you know, like they're buying in some cases sort of like, you know, 200-300 transfers, but they might be buying 10 lots of those 200-300 transfers. They've just got them sitting on the shelf. They've got the blank shirt spot. It's clean. There's no mess. There's a lot simpler for them. And because the transfer washes as well, it's not like this isn't an old school transfer. This will go through 60, 70, 80 washes. They've got confidence that what they're fulfilling out, it looks great. It's going to last. It's got a finish that's as good as Supercolor, is screen printing, you know? So yeah, the merch thing's really interesting. We think it's going to really take off for us there.
I actually think that heat transfers in general are a perfect fit for online merch stores. One is because of the stock and hold nature of transfers. They don't take up a lot of space. You don't have to save screens. The setups aren't there. But the other aspect of it is it's an on-demand product, just like buying something on a store online is on demand. If you need them, you can get them really quickly from Supercolor and you can press them and fill those jobs, you know, as fast as your customers are ordering them. The other aspect of it is that people's preferences change really quickly. Designs change really quickly. If you have those transfers and you need to discard them because the design changed, you haven't pressed them onto the garment, you're not losing, the apparel. It's sitting there, they're in blank. You just grab what you need, you press what you have to, and you ship it out.
Sure.
And that's easy, you know, like Mike said, there's a lot of our customers are now moving to that because you can just stick a person on that and that's their job all day long is filling those orders and just finding the transfer, pressing and shipping.
That's awesome.
Guys that do a lot of fulfillment stores in that as well. They're very good at creating and designing. Wow. And what they're finding is they're having to spend a lot more of their life not creating and designing, but managing production, you know, and organizing production and dealing with the complexity. So we sort of help them out there as well because they don't have to manage that anymore. They can spend their life doing the design. Yeah, being creative.
The other advantage that I just thought about with it is we have customers that like to pilot test designs out, right? And so what they do is rather than making a huge commitment towards something, they'll order it on Supercolor and they'll start pressing it and they'll build a program around making a low minimum commitment of just 20 pieces. So they don't have to go all into something. They can just test it out. And if it takes off, then they can go down whatever path they want. And I think that having that flexibility is really important when you're running your business nowadays, because sometimes you get trapped into doing things that can become costly over time.
Sure. That makes sense. I mean, you guys are both shop owners, you know, outside of Supercolor as well. Do you feel that, you know, one common thing we hear a lot, right, is you got a 200 shirt order and it has a similar setup time and time for approval and quotes and back and forth, right, and all that as a 10-piece job, right? Do you think that that helps, using the heat transfer helps make it more of a profitable job to spend that time up front when, you know, versus just turning it down? Or, you know, or how do you honestly feel about that?
If you're saying no to your customer, somebody else is probably saying yes. Mm-hmm. And if you leave the door open for them to go someplace else and try something new, you also leave the door open for them to leave. Now, I'm not saying that all business is great business. Everybody has to make their own decisions. But one of the things that Supercolor allows you to do is to say yes more. And to do it at a price or a cost that is a very small investment. It's a very accessible product. Going back to DTG, you don't have to make a huge investment into this. You just have to buy the transfers and own a heat press, and then you can say yes to your customers.
The short run thing, Bruce, is really interesting in a shop, because that is the argument, right? Like, there's a lot of shops out there that just want to sell 10,000 units all the time, you know, because there's as much work in setting up 10,000 as there is sort of like 10. New Zealand's really interesting because, like, we've got 5 million people. My shop's probably the largest in New Zealand, and we do maybe between 150 to 170 orders a day at the moment after COVID. Most of them are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. You know, my average embroidery run size at the moment is 15 units. My average transfer run size is probably around about maybe 25. And the screen printing has completely dried up. But ultimately, I think that at the moment is looking like 40 units as well. So every single job that goes through Embroidery Works is a small job, nearly. Now, when you think about quoting a screen printing job that's got lots of colors, you've got to have somebody who really knows what they're doing, because at the front, they've got to pre-vet it all. And so the level of skill to negotiate that with a customer is quite huge. Whereas with Supercolor, you can hire somebody sort of like 2 days ago, show them a Supercolor matrix. They don't have to count colors. They don't have to have too much of a technical awareness of what's going on. So it might not shorten that approval lead time process, because a lot of that's based around, you know, my transfer is too small, or, you know, like, I want the image a little bit bigger, or can you move it a little bit further down the chest? It's not looking right on the proof. You know, there's a lot of that sort of niggle.
Sure.
But ultimately, I think what it does is it means that the staff inside the screen printing company has more confidence, because they're not having to worry so much about the technical aspects of it.
I mean, that trend of those average order size going down and your team having to adjust with that, has that been before coronavirus as well that you're seeing that, or was it just accelerated through this?
New Zealand's always been a short run environment, but it's really become... So after COVID now, nobody's committing to larger quantities. It's really sort of tending down to a lot more of the fulfillment-based work, the uniform work. It's all of its transactional-based garments, you know, like uniforms and stuff that people have to wear as opposed to stuff that people want to wear. It's an interesting part of, I suppose, the way the business is going. My friend Nick, he's the Gildan agent in New Zealand. He's doing the same or similar turnovers to what he was doing before. He probably won't mind me sharing this. But he can't keep up with the order picks because his order size is so small. Like, it's tiny. Like, you know, he's shipping out more fives, twos, threes, tens. It's been really interesting. It's been really
interesting. Is that what you see too? Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
And the interesting thing about this, right, is like after Corona, if order sizes are tending down on our average shop size, it just means that we're doing more front-end work for less machine runtime. And if that more front-end work has got more colors and there's more screens and all that sort of thing, what's going to happen is it becomes a lot like my shop used to look like, or even looks like now. And you split some of that work off to Supercolor and you just take the heat out of it a little bit.
Got it. Mm. Interesting. Is that something you see too, Ron? Because it's fascinating that you mentioned that. The reason I bring that up is I've seen a couple other shop owners have mentioned that too over the last couple months. Large, small, all of them have sort of felt the same thing.
Definitely. On demand is really the way to go, or it's really what's happening in the industry right now. If you take a look at, you know, our order sizes, we see a lot of 20s, 50s, 100s in terms of what people are buying from Supercolor. There's no incentive really to overcommit. Because at that point, you know, you just adjust your margins and you roll with the flow. And I just think that that's what people are going to do, is if they don't have to take the risk, why should they? Just do what you have to do. And then when the big orders come in, adjust on the fly. So, yeah, I think that, on demand is really going to accelerate even more.
We've all got to go where the market goes a little bit.
Absolutely.
The market goes there. We've got to go. Yeah,
I'm going to have to look that up after average order size and pull it from our database too. It'd be interesting to plot that out over time, but I'm getting off on a tangent here, but I think that's really interesting. Where do shops find success with you guys at Supacolor versus anybody else in the market? Like why you, to be able to help them make these jobs profitable and you guys execute on these jobs and create a better transfer?
We're easier and we're faster. Really, we're faster and more easy. We're Supacolor, we're super fast, we're super easy. Our delivery timelines are built to fit into their delivery timelines. You know, like, and because we've got a published price list, which we're going to go through shortly, then it's easy to order, it's easy to understand, it's easy to reorder. We've got a good online, which sort of like shows you all of your past history, all of your other jobs that you've done in the past. So if you get a reorder, it's really easy to run that through. We've just really looked at the process and we've built it in such a way that it fits into a shop because it's been built by people that own shops, not necessarily built by people who make transfers and want to sell it in their way. One of the things that is huge in our world is, right, like every other transfer company does what they call a gang sheet, where you can, here's a sheet size and you can put as many logos on it as you want. Now, that sounds great. And in some cases, that's less expensive than what you might be able to get from Supacolor. But the problem is every time you go and price it, you've got to go and get a calculator out and you've got to be a mathematical genius because you've got to order a minimum of 20 sheets. Then you've got to work out the measurement. Then you've got to work out how many are. You've got to work out how much gap they want between each transfer. I used to do this, right, when Supacolor started out. It's so time consuming. And you end up having no confidence because it's so easy to make a mistake in the pricing. So we thought, let's get rid of all of that. Let's publish a price list. Let's put some simple sizing around it. And we kept the sizing really simple because of that reason. And so now you can build it into systems. You can build it into online. You can build it into price matrices. And what that does is, like, if you're dealing with more orders in a day and this is easy to price, it becomes a bit of a go-to. You can communicate this pricing to your customers and say, we sell Supacolor. Here's the price list, or here's our price list of the Supacolor. And then what ends up happening is your customers end up pricing it because it's so easy. They're relieved because they don't have to work out setups. They don't have to work out any of the other bits and pieces. They don't have to color count. It starts taking the heat out of that whole front end process.
Got it. So let's talk about that. How do you price? What's the best practices for pricing heat transfers and executing on that so that they're profitable? You know, from a few to more. I know you said you guys had minimums of 20. I don't know. If even if they do get 10, like how does all that work? What does it look like?
So it's exactly the same as if you were pricing screen printing in your shop or selling t-shirts in your shop. So if you buy the transfer for $1, then you want to make a margin on the transfer. And so say you want to make 100% markup on the transfer. So you want to make $2. And then the other component of a heat transfer is the press charge. So you've got a guy standing in front of a heat press. And what you've got to do there is you've got to work out how much he costs you versus how much an hour return you want off that labor unit. And then you work out what your press cost is. And once you've worked out that, then you apply that to what the Supacolor buy price is. And then you're done, pretty much. We don't charge setups. And we also, we charge a flat fee on the shipping run, 2-day FedEx.
Air, $15.
Which is $15. And the way that you build that into the pricing is you just simply charge a setup on your end. You might charge $25 to set up the job or $30 to set up the job or something like that. And that sort of protects you from that. So it really is pretty easy to go through and price. And then you've obviously got the t-shirt. You've got the margin that you put on the t-shirt and away you go from there.
Interesting. So, I mean, do you have like a matrix that you could share that we can run a real example of? Let's say a 5-person shop or a 10-person shop, right? What you feel like the best. Oh, okay. Awesome. So if you guys aren't or listening audio wise, so definitely have to jump in after. We're going to talk through this so you can hear about it now, but find us on YouTube, Printavo's YouTube channel. And you want to watch this too, because they're actually sharing this real pricing that I believe Rum uses in his shop here and how you guys can just take this and be able to put it right into Printavo.
This is the Supacolor price calculator that we're looking at. And what we've input into this is two of our products that we happen to sell a lot of, the wearable and the blocker. Just by clicking on the sell, there is a down arrow that allows you to select what transfer type you want to price out. And then right below that, we've got the press charge. And now each shop has the ability to choose how much they want to charge for pressing. And in this case, we plugged in 60 cents just as a hypothetical. And then right below the press charge, we have another field, which is for margin. And what you can do in there is input whatever margin you want to add on to the top of the transfer. And in this case, we've put 30%. And if you wanted to change the margin and go to 40, then it'll adjust all of the columns and pricing for each cell. And then basically you can use this as the basis to build your pricing model.
What do you find is the best practice to help calculate press charge and margin? Do you just run examples of saying, all right, 20 transfers, this mm-hmm. person is $12 an hour, right? Do you try to back into it like that? Or is there a number that you should start at and just go up higher from there?
Totally. So if your labor costs you $12 an hour, and let's say that they can press 30 units an hour. What's that work out at?
40 cents.
12 divided by 30. So your cost is 40 cents. So say you want to make you want to double your labor. You'd put in an 80 cents press charge there.
Got it. Okay. So that's an easy way to calculate the press charge aspect. Yeah. And make sure, of course, too, not just what you pay them hourly, but you should probably try to amortize some of your other costs. Right. I'm assuming in, right? You know, lease, yep, equipment, all this other stuff that's going on.
Press charging is subjective. Okay, there are parts to this process that are a bit subjective, because pressing onto the front of a t-shirt is very different than pressing onto, let's say, an umbrella. And so based on the complexity of what you're pressing, you may want to adjust your press charges up and down. And that's just basically a good practice to do. That's what we do over here. We would encourage other people to do the same.
Interesting. So you could create many of these matrices. And we're going to give this Excel sheet, by the way, we're going to link down below so that you guys can be able to play around with it and download your own copy. But that's a great point. So then you could have 0.8 for t-shirts, but then you have 1.3, maybe, Mike, for the umbrellas you're running off.
Sure. If you're dealing with objects that are hard to handle, just like when you're screen printing bulky items, you're going to charge more because it's a bulky item. It's hard to get on a platen. The same thing applies over here. So a good practice also is we like to do time trials, and we make it a game over here. When we're doing it at DecoPress, and we set up the presses and we get people pressing, and we try to see get two people doing it. We take the average, and that's how we figure out, you know, how long it takes or how many units we can do per hour. And then we break it down from there. And that's how you come up with those costs. Now, you know, labor is going to vary based off of where you're located. Your overheads are going to vary based off of where you're located. So, you know, these numbers and these figures, you're going to have to make adjustments to them. Nobody can tell you that 60 cents is the press charge you should go with no matter where you are in the world, that should be your press charge. But, you know, if you look at what Sanmar recommends, they're recommending people to come in closer to a dollar. They want to push the industry forward because there are a lot of challenges in terms of placement and things like that. Things like caps and tote bags are a little bit easier, so you may want to modify your pricing on certain things like that. What we'd love to jump in and show how we have the pricing set up in Printavo.
Definitely. Real quick, actually, what about the margin? What do you guys recommend for helping to set that up? Where should that number be?
That would be a similar margin that the shop would charge on their other stuff they buy on, like t-shirts and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I think they could probably tolerate a slightly higher margin, perhaps somewhere between a 30 to a 50% margin, depending on the volumes that you're selling, what customer base you're going after. If you're in a wholesale sense, you're not going to be able to get that much of a margin. If you're in a retail sense and you're doing fulfillment, then you should totally be getting 50%.
Got it.
You know, like all day long, maybe even more, you know, because at the end of the day, that becomes part of the thing. And I mean, like, if you look at the cost of our A4 transfer, for example, versus the cost of a DTG, the transfer costs about the same amount as the ink, and you're saving a whole lot more of the labor. It's sort of similar to how people price DTG.
It also comes down to what you're competing against or who you're competing against. And you have to understand your market, and you have to know your customer. I think that those two things are going to help you articulate better pricing. And then it also matters, like, which one of these columns that you're in. So if you take 40%, like, and you apply it all the way across every single column, that's good and it's simple. But if you want to go back and you want to adjust some of them because you might feel that you're out of pocket, then you can just go in here and adjust it and copy the pricing and put it into Printavo where you feel it's going to work better for you.
If you want to take sort of like 20% on the higher quantities, you can do that too. The most important thing on the higher quantities is probably the press charges, right? Because if you're not making money on the dude who's standing there pressing, that's where you've got the opportunity to sort of like leak money.
And do you have the cost? Is the cost of the actual transfer baked into this matrix here too?
Yep. It's baked into the pre-cheat.
So got it. So this is the final, final perfect.
This is the final. This is what you're selling out to. That's what you drop straight into Printava.
Wow. Okay, cool.
We've got a lot of products and a lot of price sheets in here. We like to use this to set up different levels of pricing. So if you see here, this is our wearable product, which is our most popular transfer that we sell. We have it set up on a retail price. That's if somebody walks off the street and they want to have us print on a shirt, this is the retail pricing that we have set up. And then we have like distributor pricing. If you work with a lot of ASI companies or advertising brokers and things like that, then you can use the distributor pricing over here. And then last we have wholesale pricing, which is shop to shop. And we do a lot of work in conjunction with other shops. Sometimes, you know, we'll get a very large project and they'll say, hey, let's split this. And there are opportunities there as well. We'll jump into the retail price matrix so that everybody can see how we've set this up. Now, in here, what we've done is we've stuck in the size categories for SuperColor, each one of them in a separate column. And then we have the quantities over here. And we built this pricing matrix by actually copying from the Excel sheet that we previously showed you. So if you want a 2.5 by 2.5, you want 100 pieces, it's 366. And this has the margin baked into it as well as the press charge baked into it. There's not necessarily any thinking that needs to happen if your sales reps or your team are trying to quote a job. It's simple. It's right there. You don't have to worry about whether you're, you know, going to make money or lose money, because as long as, you know, you're running production that's in tune with the pricing, you're going to be good.
The columns that you guys set up here, those sizes are based off the sheet sizes that you guys sell, right? So that's where people are fitting into the design.
Yep.
You know, it's a 3x3, so I'll pick 4x4 here.
That's correct.
Totally.
Okay,
that's correct.
That makes sense. And is this what you're, so retail, so for example, and this is what you've created, you know, obviously you're based in Los Angeles, so I'm sure higher costs and all that stuff going in.
Sure. But this is direct really to market. Yeah, this is direct to market. This is somebody comes off the street and says, hey, I've got 20 birthday shirts I want to do for my kid's birthday this weekend. You know, it's got a million colors in it. What can you do for me? This is the pricing matrix that we have set up for them. And it's on a market basis, you know. Everybody has to pick what fits their market. As we mentioned, we do have other price categories. So you just put the customer on the tier that fits them best. And then that way, whenever they come in and you need to do a quote or price a job for them, you just have them on the right price tier. This is an invoice that we've created using the pricing matrix that we have loaded into the system. And basically, the way that we use the locations, same way that a screen printer would use locations. And so if we go into edit, and then we're gonna go into add imprints, you can see that it's pulling the pricing from the matrices. So this one is SuperColor wearable. They're on a distributor price tier. The size of the transfer that we selected is 8.3 by 11.7. And as a good practice for ourselves over here, we like to put the size of the actual design that they want printed, and then the colors that they have in the design. Now, we've also created a separate matrix for application. Now, in this case, because we have the press charge built in to the pricing, we've selected application included. Now, there are opportunities to make more money if you're going to be doing products that are harder to press. We mentioned oversized goods, or bags, outerwear, shoes. You can press all of these items, and you know, you can charge a premium to do them because there aren't a lot of people out there that A, do them.
Definitely.
But two, they are a little bit more complex and take up more time.
And should charge higher, yes. Mm-hmm.
Go for it, yeah.
100%. What about different types of fabrics? Do you get, so it seems like you've got different matrices set up to price based on that different press charge and margin, you know, for a tote bag versus a hat versus a shirt. But does it get into detail with you know, a poly versus a tri-blend versus cotton, or are those all the same? No.
So we've got 5 transfers that suit different types of items.
Okay.
So there's a wearable transfer. There's a couple of blocker transfers which stop dye migration, and they're slightly more expensive, which is why you can see in Rum's pricing, we've got the block soft gel and the block, and there'll be a blocker in there somewhere as well. SE block disc. We've got a cap price list, which is 2 sizes of a cap transfer. And then there's a promotional transfer, and the promotional transfer is designed not to be washed. And that goes on items like bags, coolers, umbrellas, if you like umbrellas, a whole lot of other bits and pieces like that. So we've segmented the price list based on what the person is going to press in general. And the only thing they've really got to work out is, will the fabric migrate or will it won't migrate? If it doesn't migrate, then you can go with a wearable. If it does migrate, you need a blocker. If it's a soft shell jacket, you need a soft shell jacket blocker. That's about as simple as it is. Yeah.
So it's a good best practice just to keep breaking them down into more pricing matrices to accurately price from, you know, maybe a dark versus a light versus a different type of good, because that corresponds to your guys' transfer product.
So the next thing that happens from here, right, is the order gets approved, and then they've got to go over to our system and they've got to order it. So if they've used the soft shell blocker price list, and that's what it says on the Printavo order form, then they know that that's exactly what they're ordering from Supercolor. So it means that they don't have, there's less chance of there being a little bit of action in there and ordering the wrong.
Basically, what we've done is we've taken the 5 different transfer type categories, and we've priced them into 3 different price tiers. So we have 15 different price categories in the matrices. And the person that is, once the price tier has been assigned to the customer, they're only then working with 5 different transfer types, at which point, if they know what they're printing onto, then it makes it easy to select the transfer type. If you're doing headwear, there's only 1 transfer type that you need to get. It's Supercolor headwear. Then it's all about selecting the size and the quantity. So we've simplified it down to that. So going back into the order, we know that this one is going to be a Supercolor transfer. And so there's a general category here for Supercolor transfer. And now when we go back to imprint, we know that we need a wearable transfer because it's a cotton t-shirt, and you're going to select SC wearable from the matrix along with the size.
Got it. So you recommend putting that into the imprint, the size of the exact design, and you put in colors. What is the reason for the colors you feel like in there? Just to make sure you identify the right one to the right transfer when they get them in the mail?
There are situations where your customer is going to request you to color match. And in those instances, it's a good practice to put those colors in this area, because then it allows if you have a dedicated person that is taking in orders and a dedicated person that is writing your POs and outsourcing, you know, products that you're bringing into your shop, there's no mix up along the way. It allows them to communicate with each other on, you know, what needs to be done. The other thing is that most Supercolor jobs are run CMYK. People aren't worried about the color matching, but you can just type in CMYK over here if you want to just, you know, designate it there. It really just is a best practice to avoid mistakes from happening. That's why we do that.
Makes sense.
And that's really how easy it is to integrate Supercolor pricing into your Printavo price matrices. It's about building the pricing by using the Supercolor price calculator, making sure that your margin and your press charge is suitable, and then copying all of this information into the matrix. Now, I took it one step further, and I like to show this, that there are certain things that I realized along the way that we were doing a lot of. They started to become a little bit more complex to decorate. And rather than making it confusing for my team to select the right pricing, what I did is I created another price category specifically for those items. So we do a lot of backpacks here. And so what we did was is we used the Supercolor promo transfer to create a bag category for backpacks. And it made it really easy. Every time a backpack came in, boom, that's the one we're going to use. And the extra press charge that's built into it in this spreadsheet, we increased the press charge to $1.25 for a backpack. It adjusted all of our pricing over here. And then someone just had to input that into Printavo. Then as that business grew, we were like, oh man, all of a sudden we're doing a lot of fanny packs. You know, so then we added a fanny pack price. We added a duffel bag price. And so you can start to customize your Supercolor pricing by baking in that press charge that needs to be a little bit higher on certain items, or if you want to mark up the margin on the transfer because you're doing premium work, you have an opportunity to do that.
Yeah, Rum, by the way, that's a really great way to organize these matrices too, is by putting, you've got SC underscore bag underscore then duffel, or, you know, bag underscore fanny pack. So yeah, I just wanted to point that out. That's a great idea.
I cannot take credit for that. That's for my partner over there. He likes to make things very clear for people to understand.
That's a great idea.
You know, basically each one of these, the first item is SC, obviously, for Supercolor. The second one is the category. We put bag because sometimes, you know, promo can be used, promo transfers can be used several different ways. And then the next one is specifically what type of bag. And then the last one is the price tier. So this one over here is distributor because primarily that's who we're doing that work for. But on this one, it's just wholesale and it's bag because it's all the same. So
Got it.
Yeah.
Bringing it all together, what are a couple tips maybe, or even just one something that you guys have learned that when people are getting started now in e-transfers, or if they just want to improve what they're doing that you know, like, man, I wish we would have done this one earlier.
I think the first thing is don't be afraid. It can seem like it's really complicated and it can seem like it's really complex, but it really isn't. And if you keep it really simple and you make it really easy, then it becomes fast to process and it becomes profitable. The other thing is start slow and start with products that make a lot of sense. Work with t-shirts before you get into the harder stuff. Build your confidence, give your team you know, an opportunity to grow the business and get the repetition in. If you're an NBA player, you need to practice your free throws. If you're a heat presser, you need to press. And I think that's really what it's all about. From there, you'll see the opportunities in front of you because the revenue will start coming in, and then you just start building from there. Start small and don't be afraid to grow.
Got it. That's awesome. Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much for being able to just be transparent about that. Give really good best practices, tips. This is the Supercolor gang. If you guys are looking for heat transfers, take a listen to our previous podcast with them, because it's very cool how they've built the company and what's really special about their heat transfer. And of course, thank you guys for also sponsoring or being a sponsor as for Print Hustlers Comp this year. Hopefully we'll see you guys in person, fingers crossed, for next year. But this is Rum Walia, Mike Mogul. Thank you guys again.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks.